I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Still to come, the magazine mavens on their May editions, and we talk some about the business of staying in business. That's a little later. But first, race and class in the Democratic presidential campaign. It's something that we've been talking about in various ways all year. First, it was, is Senator Barack Obama black enough? And then it was, is Senator Hillary Clinton playing the race card? Then it was, can he win over working class whites? Then it was, has she blown it with blacks? In the wake of yesterday's primary results, we wanted to ask, is the media getting it right on race? Joining us to talk about this is Washington Post Associate Editor Kevin Merida, Callie Crossley, a commentator on WGBH's Beat the Press, and NPR's media correspondent David Folkenflik. Welcome to you all.
Hi.
Nice to be here.
Hey there.
Now, in the spirit of full disclosure, I should tell you that I generally avoid media stories because we're so imprecise. Like, who are we talking about? Are we talking about Fox News? Are we talking about CNN? Are we talking about, you know, Glamour magazine? You know, who are we talking about? But I do think in this case that certain narratives have emerged that we can talk about. And Kevin, I'm going to start with you. You've written several articles about the issue of race in the political campaign. Do you think that the media has appropriately focused on race as a factor?
Well, I think that we don't deal with race very well as a general subject in this country. And it's, you know, we don't know each other very well in this country. And I think that you see some of our inability to grasp with the nuance and complexities of it in the Jeremiah Wright affair, and in some ways the whole bitterness comments. I think that racism directly has been kind of skirted around. It we haven't tackled that directly. And, you know, you're in Pennsylvania, for instance, and I've been reporting out of northeastern Pennsylvania, up in Scranton. Some of the things that were encountered by the Obama campaign were just really direct racism.
Like what?
Signs getting burned, volunteers being called N-word lovers, phone banking, people saying some very derogatory racist things. A mayor in a local county wrote in very disparagingly of Obama. This happened all the way through the election and canvassing. Undocumented workers were talked about in very, you know, racial terms. So these are very direct things that you don't see much reporting on.
Callie, what about you?
Oh, absolutely. This has been a subject that we've been discussing off and on the program. I'm on weekly. And it always comes down to, I think, my pointing out some things that other people just don't see in some of the coverage. And I have to say that, now, without a broad brush, that mainstream media has been setting the narrative, and that's the word that we've been using, on the campaign trail. If we look at journalists of color who are actually on the campaign trail, there are not huge numbers of them. In fact, there are small numbers of them. Now, gladly, I'm happy that there have been lots of analysts of color to discuss these issues after it becomes a narrative. But that's sort of like the second day story or maybe even the third day story. And so what I've seen is that there have been some misses in the writing of the original pieces, and it's left to the analysts to come back and say, well, wait a minute, this means something different.
So in essence, you and Kevin are arguing that race has been underreported as an issue in this campaign, not overreported.
I think the way it's been reported is right now is if you mention the word race, then somebody has to be pointed at and be called a racist. That's not necessarily the way to discuss race. There are lots of issues across the board without having the center of the conversation be blah, blah's a racist and here's why and that's the story. I don't think it advances anybody's understanding about where our differences are and in fact, where our commonalities are.
David, what about you? What's your take on this?
What's my take on this? Well, I mean, as you said in your introduction, you know, to aggregate the media is a little tricky because there are so many different layers right now. But, you know, if you talk about the 24-hour cable yak that goes on, I don't think there is a lot of constructive coverage. You know, it's reduced to these flashpoint symbolic things. Is the word bitter really sort of masking a very angry black man, you know, as sort of Jon Stewart mocked a night or two ago? The notion of, you know, should his associations with his former pastor be enough to indict him that somehow the views bleed over? You know, when you ask, has there been enough coverage, over coverage, under coverage, it's really the nature of coverage. When Kevin, a reporter whose work I've read for years, talks about these things in Scranton, other part, I think it's he said it was Scranton, these incidents that sound like blatant episodes of racism. I sure as heck would like to see that in mainstream papers. I'd like to read more about it and learn more about it and see if that's common or not.
I think the conservatives will make an argument, and I don't want to, you know, speak for them, but that perhaps they might agree that the issue is underreported, but in a way that favors Obama. For example, there was some discussion of why Pastor Jeremiah Wright's comments were not discussed earlier, since there's such an interest in the biographies of these candidates.
I think it's a completely legitimate issue to look at. I think that, so much of how candidates run these days is based on biography, perhaps Senator Clinton less than Senators McCain and Obama. But, he's talked a lot. He's written two memoirs. He's talked a lot about his path, his journey, his background. And he's pointed to, as I understand it, Mr. Wright, as a mentor and as somebody who's really inspired him in many ways. It's completely legitimate to explore that. It's not legitimate to hinge all discussion of race and of the person on that. You have to. I think it's careful. I mean, the notion that somehow we're covering race carefully when, in fact, we're just using the word races. And did he play the race card? Did I have the race card played on me? It's sort of this meta discussion of who gets to be the aggrieved party. That doesn't seem to me that useful.
Speaking of this, Kevin, why is it that, for example, Senator Clinton has not been called upon to give a major address about race?
Well, I think that's a great question. She has, sought to capitalize on some areas, some opportunities where they existed, such as when she went to the State of the Black Union event that Tavis Smiley hosts annually that Senator Obama decided to skip. But I think that she's become very, sensitive to, the idea that he has been capturing the vast majority of African-American votes. If you listen to some of her messages before black audiences, they're not quite the same as in other audiences. She'll, when it came to the bitter comments, she was in suburban places and elsewhere in Pennsylvania really hammering Obama on that. But when she got to black audiences, it was, this is a great historic race we're running, proud to be next to Senator Obama. So you have to listen to some of the ways that people campaign, which is natural. She's very sensitive to the fact that, if she is the nominee in the fall, she can't really afford to alienate someone who's getting 8 and 9 of every 10 black votes everywhere in the country.
On the other hand, Kelly, if you listen to some of the feminist writers and some of the feminist blogs have complained about the fact that they feel that truly misogynistic language that is directed at Senator Clinton has not been fully explored. Like, for example, Robin Morgan wrote this piece called, Enough With All That, where she talked about this, and I hope this doesn't offend anybody to point this out, there's a nutcracker being sold at the airports that is based on a figure of Senator Clinton, and she, you can figure out what the metaphor is there. And her argument is that this would not be, you would not have a comparable, you wouldn't have a Senator Obama shoeshine kit. That would be considered beyond the pale. But it's considered okay to say certain things about a woman, and that there's the feeling on the part of some that those kinds of issues aren't being fully explored either. Callie, you have any thoughts about that?
Well, I think that, believe me, I've been raising them as well. I think that definitely there needs to be some calling out, and there has been a little bit of it, particularly with mainstream folks and as with the folks that David was calling the yakkers on cable about when they have gone over the line. And there's been some going over the line. I think it's sometimes hard to separate out what was a genuine criticism and really what was sexist in nature. But there has been that, and it's been stubborn and it's persistent. Now, having said that, I mean, there is also, when I look at the coverage, I look at how little was paid attention to of black women who sort of sit at the nexus between white women and race, and the discussion about what does that mean then for that group of people. That's how, to me, an interesting, legitimate story about race. A couple of pieces, but not really. And how black women were feeling very made to feel badly if they chose Obama for reasons that they thought were important. So I'm not denying that there has not been sexist stuff, but I think that there's been a lot of stuff that's inappropriate on the race side as well.
David, what do you think?
Well, I mean, there have been examples where I think there, you know, it seems years ago now, but if you think in advance of the South Carolina primary, I do remember some articles about that intersection of race and gender and the dilemma that some women, black women, felt in terms of thinking about casting their vote, thinking about pride, thinking about the examples that were being set for their daughters. There were some good stories there. You know, there were actually some. Once Senator Obama felt compelled to give his address in Pennsylvania about race, you know, some weeks ago, there was actually some very interesting and thoughtful and textured coverage and commentary at that time, prompted by the candidate himself and his own frustration and inability to sort of frame the discussion of race, which obviously is an element, a key element of his appeal and his pitch.
And that was considered a major triumph for him. I mean, it was an hour of coverage across the cable networks. It was written about extensively. In all venues for days afterwards.
I watched it in our newsroom here in our New York bureau, and I turned to a colleague, you know, about 10 minutes in and said, you know, whether or not this is politically effective, this is a fascinating speech. He's addressing, he's making an argument, and he's trying, on the whole, still a politician, but trying to convince people and to tap into their sort of a certain higher level of aspiration and of thought. And it was a fascinating speech, and it did inspire some textured coverage. You know, one other example I'd give is you started to see a bit of coverage about Senator McCain and his own record on race, his initial opposition to, for example, the Martin Luther King holiday when he was a relatively junior congressman, but the ways in which he turned against the governor of Arizona in the late 80s, who himself proved himself to be a bigot and a racist. There have been some articles and some coverage that you think, well, this is interesting, and it's not simply, hey, there's a black candidate, so we're going to frame all issues of race about him and about, you know, whether or not he's black enough or too black or whatever.
But I have to say, David, though, that there still hasn't been any coverage enough coverage about his association with Reverend Hagee and his own pastor and what does that mean? Nothing to the extent that Obama was hit on the head with Reverend Wright. I understand.
But is that because of race, or is that because perhaps Senator Obama's been more vocal about his race, which opens the door, more vocal about his faith, which opens the door to questions about just how he sees his faith and what role it plays in his life, whereas Senator McCain has not talked about it quite as much.
Well, but you see, if we're going to talk about how we're going to look at whether or not some of the coverage is race-tinged, then I think it was incumbent upon mainstream press to go back and look at the kinds of comments that Hagee was making, and particularly in that context, and say, okay, well, now let's lay it all out here, and let's talk about it. I didn't think it was fair coverage. Let me put it that way.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News, and I'm speaking with journalists Kevin Merida, David Folkenflik, and Callie Crossley about race and class and the coverage of those two difficult issues in the Democratic presidential campaign. Kevin, is in fact, though, as a person who's covered, written about race quite extensively over the course of your career and supervised the coverage of others, but when we talk about race, aren't we really talking about Senator Obama?
Well, yeah, I think that it's always been, you know, the person of color has had the burden for carrying the racial dialogue. And, you know, I think that there was a kind of marvel. I don't want to turn this conversation and totally into the negative side of things, because here in northeastern Pennsylvania, for example, which was Hillary Clinton country, and she walloped Obama here as expected. You know, one of the county commissioners here, who was one of the few people out for Obama, said that he thought that just this campaign alone, the fact that Senator Obama campaigned across Pennsylvania, had really taken race out of the closet and put it into the living rooms of Pennsylvanians, and that they were able to see somebody who obviously is very gifted in up close and diners and places like they've never had to see. You know, presidential candidates of color, you know, this is just an unprecedented thing. And to be in these small townships and places, they've never seen an African-American like him. And so I think that is moving the dialogue forward. It's getting people to ponder questions about themselves and how they grew up and the kind of things that really are good for the country.
You know, campaigns are political exercises. They're sort of they are the way by which government happens, but they're also cultural experiences. And yeah. I'm wondering, is partly what we're talking about here a cultural experience which may or may not have that much to do with the campaign at the end? I don't know. Callie, what do you think?
Well, a cultural experience absolutely has something to do with the campaign, because I think when you vote, you're really voting your gut in the end. I mean, you're looking at some of the hard facts, of course, but I've heard people talking over the last few days about what does my gut say to me? Is this person like me? Can I appreciate them? That's why when I hear a lot of the characterizations of Senator Obama as elitist, you know, I just wonder, where is that going? Because Kevin just said they've never seen an African-American like that. And some people have taken extrapolated that to the next point and said, well, I haven't seen him because he's not like me and he's elitist. It's kind of interesting in this coverage. So I think, yes, cultural things make a huge difference. How you connect to somebody, you're connecting culturally. And that's important.
David, do you think that this has been uncomfortable in a way for our colleagues, ourselves, as journalists? It's been exciting. It's certainly given us a lot to talk about. But do you think there's a part of it that's just uncomfortable, that people are on pins and needles in a way that they normally are not in covering a campaign?
Well, pins and needles and eggshells, I guess. If you think about the question of cultural experience, I'd say it's almost a cultural moment where I'm guessing in presidential cycles 4 and 8 years and subsequent, you know, you won't see so much coverage of can a woman be a serious candidate? Can an African-American be a serious candidate? That sort of thing. There is a sense of walking on eggshells, particularly about race. It would have been about gender had Senator Obama not emerged as such a strong candidate, but about the question of race is such a, you know, it's our original sin in this country, the treatment of African Americans. You know, we haven't fully found ways and even a vocabulary to deal with that in popular discourse that isn't painful for many people participating and consuming that. It is a tough topic. I think at times this campaign has allowed it to be more seriously explored, and at times it served as an excuse to do some, I think, rather shallow, you know, slapping around of the candidates and ideas.
Okay, so we'll have to leave it there. More to, I guess, to be continued, right?
Yes.
David Folkenflik is NPR's media correspondent, and he joined us from our New York bureau. Kelly Crossley is a commentator for WGBH-TV's Beat the Press and an occasional contributor to Tell Me More, I have to say. She joins us from member station WBUR. And Kevin Merida is an associate editor for The Washington Post, and he joined us by phone from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.